in the limelight.
Events that transpired at the Venezuelan embassy in upscale Washington neighborhood of Georgetown expressed in microcosm the criminality and contempt for international law that characterizes U.S. imperialist operations the world over. Bill Van Oken, a politician and activist who was a presidential candidate in the U.S. presidential elections of 2004, has written an interesting and informative article in this regard. The article is titled, The Assault on the Venezuelan Embassy. Stay with us for more of Bill Van Oken's article. U.S. Secret Service agents, Washington's Metropolitan Police, and agents of the State Department's Diplomatic Security Service, hundreds of armed men stormed the building to evict four peaceful anti-war activists, part of a larger contingent that had been staying in the Venezuelan embassy for the last month at the invitation of the Venezuelan government. The units deployed included agents wearing battle fatigues and helmets and carrying battering rams, to force their way into the embassy. Many of those sent to break into the building wore flak jackets. This deployment of overwhelming militarized force was hardly necessary given the small number of activists in the building and their prior assurances to U.S. authorities that they would not resist what they regarded as an unlawful arrest. It was staged as a demonstration of the power of the U.S. state, an act of intimidation against anyone opposing its machinations, both domestic and international, and a graphic statement that might make right, the law be damned. The Venezuelan government has denounced the invasion of its embassy in Washington as a gross violation of the Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations signed by the United States in 1963 and observed by virtually every country in the world. It affirms that embassies and other diplomatic facilities are inviolable and cannot be entered by agents of the host government without the express permission of the head of the diplomatic mission involved. It likewise requires that the host government protect diplomatic premises against any intrusion or damage and to prevent any disturbance of the peace of the mission or impairment of its dignity. Washington has ridden roughshod over these provisions in relation to the Venezuelan embassy on every score. Before forcing its way into the building, it had allowed a mob of fascist and right-wing thugs to mobilize outside the embassy building, erecting tents on its grounds and physically assaulting those supporting the activists inside or attempting to bring them food. These elements repeatedly attempted to break into the embassy building, damaging its facilities and threatened those inside with murder and rape. When police intervened to halt the most egregious of these illegal acts, they immediately released the perpetrators, facilitating and inflaming the lynch mob atmosphere. For decades, Washington has treated Iran as a so-called rogue state for the events of November 1979. In the throes of the Islamic Revolution, revolutionary students stormed the U.S. Embassy building in Tehran, known as the Den of Espionage, taking U.S. spies hostage. Washington went to the United Nations and the International Court of Justice, charging the Iranian government with violating the Vienna Convention for failing to halt the attack. The Iranian government did not participate in these proceedings. Instead, it insisted that the action had to be treated in the context of the previous quarter century of U.S. imperialist crimes in Iran. from the 1953 CIA-engineered coup d'etat that overthrew the nationalist government of Mohammad Mossadegh through to Washington's support of the Shah's dictatorship and the murders and torture carried out by its hated Savak Secret Service. The Iranian government insisted that the U.S. espionage den issue could be resolved only through the U.S. extradition of the Shah back to Iran and the return of the vast amounts of wealth that he had taken with him. Years after going to the court in The Hague, Netherlands, over the U.S. embassy in Iran, Washington renounced the court's jurisdiction anyhow. When it comes to rogue states, there does not exist a government on the planet that can rival that of the United States of America. In storming the Venezuelan embassy in Washington, it claims to be acting on behalf of the self-proclaimed government of Juan Guaido, the far-right CIA-backed political operative who proclaimed himself the interim president of Venezuela last January, with the backing of Washington. Nearly 4 months later, this regime change operation launched with Juan Guaido's self swearing in has waned. An attempt on 30th of April to consummate the coup with an appeal for an outright military overthrow of the elected Maduro government failed miserably, eliciting neither a military revolt nor any support from the population of Venezuela. The seizure of the embassy is part of an increasingly open appeal for direct U.S. military intervention to bring about the desired regime change in Caracas. The embassy is now to be occupied by Carlos Vecchio, a fellow member of Juan Guaido's far-right U.S.-funded Voluntad Popular, or Popular Will, party. Carlos Vecchio went into exile after being charged with fomenting violence in Venezuela. Whilst proclaimed by Juan Guaido as Venezuela's ambassador, he, like the interim president himself, represents neither the Venezuelan people nor any real government. His so-called embassy cannot issue passports or visas or conduct any other business common to diplomatic missions. Both Carlos Vecchio and Juan Guaido are paid agents of Washington. They are pawns in the U.S. drive to establish unfettered control by U.S. energy conglomerates over Venezuela's oil reserves, the largest on the planet, and to roll back the growing influence of both China and Russia in Venezuela and Latin America more broadly, which U.S. imperialism has long regarded as its own backyard. One of Carlos Vecchio's first actions as so-called ambassador, newly installed by the U.S. Secret Service, will be to meet with the chiefs of the Pentagon's Southern Command, or SOUTHCOM, which oversees all U.S. military operations in Latin America and the Caribbean. In a letter to SOUTHCOM, the Juan Guaido camp said its aim was to conduct strategic and operational planning so that we may restore our democracy. This democracy is to be provided by war for regime change by the United States military to install the most right-wing representatives of Venezuela's ruling oligarchy, committed to turning over the country's oil wealth to American companies like ExxonMobil, Chevron, and the rest of Big Oil. Such a regime can be imposed only by means of a bloody war and the most ruthless repression of the Venezuelan people. With its invasion of the Venezuelan embassy, Washington is cementing a precedent. It claims the right to overthrow any government in the world, select its own puppet regime to head the replacement, and install its representative in the country's embassy in Washington to assist in coordinating and legitimizing U.S. military intervention. This criminal action has been largely passed over in silence by the US corporate media and justified in the few reports that have appeared. Noteworthy was the coverage of the New York Times, which claimed that the dissonance of a Venezuelan diplomatic compound being occupied by a group of predominantly white American anti-interventionist activists had been a source of resentment amongst the predominantly Venezuelan protesters who had surrounded the embassy. What filthy nonsense. The resentment among the fascist hooligans who besieged the embassy building was not over the racial or national identity of those opposing the US regime change operation, but rather their standing in the way of the exiled right-wingers and oligarchs returning to power on the backs of the US military. As is it wont, the New York Times uses right-wing identity politics to justify imperialist criminality. Nor has there been a hint of opposition from the Trump administration's ostensible political opponents in the Democratic Party, all of whom, from Joe Biden to Bernie Sanders, have lined up behind the regime change operation in Caracas, Venezuela. The Venezuelan embassy siege, with its mobilization of massive police power alongside right-wing gangs to accomplish illegal aims that further the interests of the United States ruling elite, constitutes a warning to the people in the United States and to people all over the world. In the face of a resurgent crisis and the insoluble contradictions of the global capitalist system, the capitalist ruling elites in the United States are shedding even the pretense of democratic principles and processes and turning even more openly towards authoritarian rule and the promotion of fascist forces. The storming of the Venezuelan embassy building in Georgetown, Washington, follows the throwing open of the doors of the Ecuadorian embassy in London to a British police snatch squad acting on behalf of US prosecutors seeking to punish WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange for exposing US war crimes, laying charges against him that could result in his execution. The defense of democratic rights, together with the struggle against the threat of war in Venezuela, lies with the open-minded anti-imperialist activists, whose interests are diametrically opposed to those of the warmongers in the US ruling class, and their lackeys in the Democratic Party and the US media.